There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Jules Von Hepp.
Hello, I'm Sarah Powell.
And welcome to Wobble, a podcast about happiness and body confidence.
Because we all wobble.
I actually want to call this episode Scrumptious.
Yes, she's an angel.
Liv Purvis is joining us to talk all things insecurities. And listening back to this chat, because we do that, yep. We do listen back, it is really lovely affirming conversations about being insecure and about being open with insecurities. Liv is a young girl who has got a lot of followers and has taken it upon herself to actually own her insecurity and create a safe space to talk about it. Liv Purvis, I have been just so happy to see you today. Aww. Because you're just one of those people that bring me so much joy.
You wouldn't throw me out in a Marie Kondo decluttering, would you?
Oh, no.
No, oh my God, I was literally just talking about Marie Kondo and the joy thing this morning.
Everybody is.
But also, I feel like you and I have this lovely bond. I always feel like you're big brother. I always feel like I look out for Liv.
That's nice. I'm going to cry before it's even begun.
Oh God, don't. We've had tears already this season. I just can't handle it anymore.
I'm going to wilt into the chair.
What I love about you is that you have your fashion blog, your beauty blog, but you now have the Insecure Girls Club. Let's talk about that.
Oh my God, where to begin? I feel like it's got a life of its own now. It's like I started it last September, just gone out of, I think when you have a blog, I feel like I was just putting out a lot of content, which I was really proud of, but I felt like it didn't feel like it had a real use for people. I didn't know. I feel like I'm one of those people, I'm like, oh, it's so self-involved just sharing what I'm up to and just pictures of myself. And I wanted to do something that felt useful and could bring together this community that I've garnered over the years. I think I've been doing it for 9 years, not 10 yet. And I just wanted to kind of spread it out across another platform. And initially I was like, oh, maybe I'll start a blog series talking about all of these different things that keep cropping up within my circles of friends or online. But then that felt too formal. It felt like I don't need to do long form pieces just to talk about the everyday niggles that we all have. So I kind of spoke to a few people, just started an Instagram very much off the cuff. I was like, I think I had a sick day on the sofa and I was like, right, I'm just going to start this Instagram. And then suddenly it just grew legs, started running. And I was like, wait, slow down, because now it's just got a life of its own. But no, I started this platform called the Insecure Girls Club, basically as a space for women to talk about the little things that we sometimes call trivial in a really safe space where you can talk about anything and people can go, I feel like that too, basically.
Yeah, lovely. And I mean, I suppose one of the reasons that it took off so much was that people needed it.
Yeah.
People loved it and they wanted it and they really connected with it, I think, really quickly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think when I started it, I feel like it's talking about a lot of the things I talk about on the platform. I know it sometimes feels a bit en vogue to start talking about those things. I didn't want it to feel like a platform that I was starting to become part of a trend. Just, I don't know, or to do something because it was jumping on a bandwagon. But yeah, like you say, the way it grew so quickly, I mean, I didn't expect it to grow. And almost that's become an insecurity in itself, obviously, because now I'm like, there's too many people. I can't talk to all of them. Oh my God.
Yeah, wow.
I can't please everyone. So it's just grown into this place that everyone's so welcoming and supportive, which is amazing.
For me, as your friend, who, like, I've known you
for quite, I don't know how long I've known you, but it feels like ages. Yeah. Like, you are really open about the things that make you, like, trigger, yeah, as it were. Like, you always have been with me, and yeah, the things that maybe have made you feel a little bit insecure. And so watching you as a friend start this platform was really, it was like, yeah, of course she's done that. Of course she's done that, because so many people don't talk about it. And the thing about Liv is you're a lot younger than you come across, because how, like, if you mind me asking, how old are you?
I left my wheelie trolley outside. I'm 25.
So you're 25, you have this big platform and you're dealing with it, and actually what I think you've done is you've used this platform for good, which is something that I always talk about with social media. You have to use your platform for good, and it doesn't have to be this awful space that you can fall into. We talk about comparison traps a lot, don't we?
Absolutely.
It's not one of those arenas. You're changing that into it being an arena for good. But how does it feel when you are, I want to say, owning the insecurity?
I don't know, it's quite intimidating. So I think on my normal platform, I've only ever kind of spoken about those things on stories, because they feel a bit more disposable. Yeah. Like, you can talk about them and then flush them away, and then you're like, oh, I've forgotten about it. And I think almost owning them feels like it's refreshing in a way, because you feel more in control of it. And I think even having conversations with people about the word insecurity, I think a lot of people are like, oh, why would you want to be part of, like, the Insecure Girls Club? And I'm like, well, why would you not? Because everyone feels like it. Like, it's not something to be embarrassed about. But I think it's something that we've always kind of got, I don't want to, you never want to be the insecure girl, or the one that's, yeah, like, even if that's at work or in a relationship, I think the second you're called the one that's insecure, you kind of, it's embarrassing. So it's kind of taking that back and be like, well, we all feel like it. And I think when I had all these conversations with friends, be it after an event or something, where we'd come out and I always do this thing where if I'm at a dinner, I'll be talking a lot. And if I've had a really great time and then come away and I'm like, oh my God, I spoke too much. Who do I think I am? I think, yeah, I'm really funny. Oh, you love the sound of your voice. And then suddenly it just goes the whole other way. But then it's knowing that everyone comes out of those situations feeling like it. And even being able to, like, when I had a meeting about the Insecure Girls Club, and I was with people that I was really quite intimidated by, because I was like, oh, they're really successful.
And whatever then, that means.
I know, that's, yeah, the thing, that, yeah, inverted commas, successful. And then I was talking about how nervous I felt, and the other girl that I was with was like, oh yeah, I felt quite nervous this morning. And I was like, oh my God, now we're all saying it, we can all relax, because, yes, now we all know that we all feel like it. So then we can kind of go, right then, shoes off, let's get chatting. Because then it levels the playing field, because we all feel like it.
That is actually right at the core of it, isn't, yeah, it? That you feel like this and I feel like this. And it's the relief of seeing my feelings validated by somebody else sharing, mm, and being so open about theirs. And I wonder, kind of, I know this is quite a weird question. For you, Liv, what does insecurity look like? Like, how does it occupy you?
I feel like loads of ways. I mean, like, when I first started, I always would joke. When I was online, I'd be like, oh, I'm a bit of a nervous pervis, because I feel like I'm just a bit of a worry about everything. Reads into everything. I always have done. So many anecdotes. But I feel like naturally coming into the online space, it really does, like we mentioned before, like leaning into comparison. Like, comparison is the thing that I think started the whole club, especially with the internet, because there were all these amazing people I follow online, and I was just like, oh God, like, you just look, it was just not having any tunnel vision. I remember many moons ago, I went on Emma Gannon's podcast, and I kind of felt like I didn't have a thing, when, like we've spoken about before, like going on there and being like, I don't know what my thing is. Like, and then I started talking about comparison, and obviously since there's people like Lucy Sheridan who are doing the most incredible things, like amazing work. But I felt like I could talk about things like comparison till the cows came home, and how I felt. And maybe that sounds a bit self-indulgent. I could just talk about how I felt all day. That was my thing.
Yeah.
But it kind of, talking about it made me realise it wasn't so weird. And I think I've grown up in a weird transitional time between not having the internet and having the internet, and being like, oh, I remember a time when there wasn't this space where we could talk about this so openly. But then equally on my main channel, I felt like it was almost, I wasn't brave enough to be so candid. So almost having the Insecure Girls Club gave me a platform that I could almost be a bit faceless and still talk about these things, and then people that wanted to contribute could. I really admire all the women online that can just own it totally, but even still, I still feel a bit worried about kind of talking about my worries and little things that crop up on Liv Purvis.
Sure.
I think as well, like you mentioned, you know, the women online owning it, that's all our perception, yeah, of seeing it from the outside and going, oh wow, she's owning it. But people say to me, oh God, you own it on social media. I'm like, really? Because I am, like, some days I wake up and I'm a mess. Yeah. Like, I'm an absolute basket case. case. Yeah. And like, that's normal. But what I like about what you're doing, Liv, is that you're saying you own the insecurity, like it's totally fine. And
yeah.
I think what's like, I was thinking about what we were going to chat about today. I was looking back about my own insecurity, and I would never describe myself as an insecure person. I think I would have done it at 25. I definitely would have done it at 22. At 18, mess. But I think it comes in peaks and troughs, because for now, if I'm talking about insecurities, I fall into the comparison traps around my friends. So their engagements, their buying houses, the buy folding doors, the cookers, all of these things that I perceive that I want makes me trigger, makes me go, I'm worthless. Why haven't I got that? And which Sarah and I have chatted over endless bottles of wine over this topic.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But carafe after carafe.
But we don't necessarily talk about it online all the time. So I love the fact that you have this space here. I'm interested to know what's, and I don't know whether there is one, what's been the most common insecure things that you see coming through from people?
So many varied things. I think that's kind of the, I mean, there's a lot of things with talking about failure and where people think the line is of being successful and feeling that they're not doing as well as they should. And that comes up all the time, which I think is so interesting. I posted a quote yesterday. I think it was by Jen Gotch, who is the founder of Bando, who's amazing. And it was kind of like, the way we perceive failures makes us fail more than we actually do, because we haven't actually done anything wrong, but the way we think about it almost puts us through it twice, because you're like, oh, I failed, and you haven't, but then the way you're thinking about it does, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Failure inception.
And it is, and it, but the goalposts are moving all the time for all of us, do you know what I mean? And there's that lovely thing, remember when you didn't have,
remember when you wanted what you currently have?
Yes, that it's that. Remember when you dreamt of it? Because we never give ourselves credit for that. Mm. You never, you know, get there and go, great, I've done that. And that's something that I really wanted. It's always on to the next, on to the
next.
That's
what I loved about your episode with Bryony as well.
I was just about to say, Bryony Gordon,
And I was just like, that, exactly that. Because I look back and I think, like, at this age, I'm like, wow, Liv, like, give yourself a pat on the back. And on the other hand, I'm like, well, I've not done that.
Yeah.
Like, walking around like sadness and inside out, like, my head down, like, oh God. Yeah. But it's so stupid. And I think I feel lucky in a way that I have a really good supportive network of friends. And I think starting the club as well, I wanted to kind of put it out there for people that didn't have that network around them as well, because I think I take for granted sometimes having like a best friend that lives down the road that I can chat to and, like you say, like have a glass of wine or something with, or an elderflower if you're me.
Yeah.
Like PG Purvis. But like but just having a space where people can feel like they can talk to other people. And I think it kind of did follow on from the podcast that Charlotte and I do, which is called The Fringe of It. And we started up a Facebook group when we started the podcast, and people were just getting together. Like, they were kind of saying, oh, if anyone wants to hang out in this city, it showed me that side of online and the networking that, and the power of community that I think I took for granted. Having an audience where you kind of think it's so much more than just an audience to kind of show things to. You want them to actually feel part of something and feel valued, because they are of value. They're enormous parts of what I do, and I think you can take it for granted. I think that's why I wanted to start that as well, to kind of make people feel like they were part of something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, that sounds a lot deeper than it should.
The feeling of not being alone, I mean, that's transformative completely.
Yeah.
The idea that, oh my God, it's not just me. Because I thought it was. Because we all do. We all think it's just us. Everybody thinks everybody else has got all the answers. They've really got their shit together. They're fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's this constant perception of I'm not okay, and they are. And it's so easy to do.
And I think what's worse now is that everything is perceived as measurable.
Yeah.
So for us, it's numbers on people's Instagram page. Yeah. How much have they got? And they're only inviting me because of this, or likes and all of this. But also for my friends who aren't in this industry, it can be, or they've just opened their second shop, or they've just got another car, or they've just bought that house, or they've done this. And it's this, it's everything is measurable by standards that you perceive yourself, which can then, I feel, trigger more insecurity going in.
Yeah.
But it's actually, you're totally right, of just taking a deep breath and going, okay, this is all in my head here.
Yeah. And also, I always sort of believe that if we are triggered by something, there's probably an element of it's because it's what we want. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's what ultimately, it's showing a part of ourselves. It's all about us. It's not about that other person.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not really about their house and their dog and their arga. It's about the fact that, you know,
although we would all love an arga.
That's it.
God,
that's
it's
it.
My biggest trigger.
But that's because ultimately, if we look at that, if we turn that around, you are desperate for that. You're ready to move and you're ready to have that sort of space,
yeah,
aren't you?
Totally.
And to occupy that. And it reminds me of when we had Gina Swire on Wobble about how you can then kind of really make that a positive. So you can think about how you can obtain that. Think about how you can occupy more spaces like that, whether it's going away for the weekend or whatever, you know, however it looks, or vision boards, or do you know what I mean?
Completely.
Like, whatever it is, there's a real way of converting it,
yeah,
isn't there?
Completely. And I think actually realizing that someone's probably looking at you and feeling like that,
yes,
as well. And I think sometimes having that platform where you can kind of, like, I don't know, like last night, for example, I had a bit of a wobble. And then I spoke to Charlotte, who could be like, Liv, it's all right, felt fine afterwards. But it's almost having that online friend who can kind of go, you're fine, like, take a breather. Because I had that at my disposal. And it, again, I could just be like, oh, yeah, hasn't everyone just got someone they can WhatsApp and just go, yeah, you're not all right? But it is, yeah, like you say, just.
A lot of people don't know.
But that's
a lot of people don't. And
completely.
Even their relationship, if you're in a relationship, maybe another half doesn't necessarily understand
and it's brave
how you're feeling.
To admit that you feel insecure as well. And I think, especially, but maybe in relationships, it's hard to kind of say to your friends, oh, actually, I'm having a bit of a shit time in my relationship. Or, I don't know, you don't want to kind of make things seem any less than they are.
Yeah.
So actually almost doing it anonymously to a bigger space,
I think it's easier.
Can be easier. Mm. And I think that's, again, what I think it might be hopefully helpful.
Yeah. I think it must be, if we were to speak to people who occupy that Facebook group or who are heavily sort of involved in the Insecure Girls Club, I feel like it would be, they either don't have anyone to talk to, you know, IRL, or they don't feel comfortable. And actually that's a really lovely safe space to explore that part of yourself in.
Yeah, complete. I hope so. I think there's things that people have emailed me that I see and I think, oh my god, I wish I'd seen that when I was that age. Like, just silly things, like, well, nothing silly, but like things I was thinking about, like pubic hair and things that you kind of feel really insecure about. And when I was a certain age, I remember it being like the be all and end all, and I was like, oh my god, I don't know what to do, I don't know if it's like, what is it, sexy, is it not, like, it was so subjective to me at an age of, like, I can't even, I think it was like 15, and I had a boyfriend and he, oh my god, I don't think I've ever said this out loud. Well, I have said it to my best friend, but like after he'd split up, I was so young and he shouted over the train platform. He was like, "Hairy muff," and I was just mortified. And that was kind of my,
I hope he hears this.
And I was so, like, I was embarrassed. Obviously, you feel embarrassed. Yeah. You're like, oh my god, I'm disgusting.
And you never forget it.
And
you
never,
can,
like,
still
that's
feel
the thing.
It.
Like, even now, I'm like, I remember that because it was embarrassing. And I think if I had all these resources now that I could be like, actually, do you know what? It's really empowering. It's my choice. I'd feel so much better about that. Whereas at the time, I was just like, oh, I'm disgusting. Oh god, maybe I'm like a 70s porn star. I just don't know what to do with myself, because there wasn't anyone else telling me otherwise. Whereas now I think, oh my god, there are, like, I can talk about this to anyone, and that's so refreshing. And it's like having those resources online are just like, oh.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It is amazing, though, that people don't realise when they say stuff of how that can really impact somebody else. I once had a one-night stand, and this is such an overshare, but whatever. And he said to me, "Are you quite fat, aren't you?"
No.
And we were in the middle. No. We were in the middle
Stop
of
it.
Everything. And
why would he say that?
He said, "Oh, you're quite fat." And I was just like, can't believe somebody's actually just said that while I'm naked, while I'm doing things that I'm supposed to enjoy.
Yeah, that's awful.
And it took me months to process it. Months of like I could not have sex. I couldn't go out. I just didn't want to like take my clothes off in front of everyone.
Oh my
but God. Then I was like doing spray. It was just this really weird time for me of dealing with this body. But he's a good person. It's not like he's a horrible person. He would be mortified.
I don't know.
No, like... Because I worked with him for quite some time. Like, he would be mortified to know that. And he probably just... He shouldn't have said it. And when there was alcohol involved or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think things that we throw away or comments that we can say to throw away, they affect other people in different ways. And I think if there are things that you hold on to and maybe you are thinking, oh, God, like, that person said that thing to me... So who said it, put it in the freezer?
Oh, it was in Friends, wasn't it? What when they put the book in the freezer because it's too scary?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's amazing. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because that person probably doesn't... He would never remember, probably, that he even said that to you.
Or Muff Yeller at you.
Yeah, he would never, like, remember that.
I hope not.
But things can stick and they can be almost become a filter that we see everything through.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you think, like, if we think of your example, every time you were, you know, undressed in front of anyone... I mean, that could go so deep.
But that went for years. It went for years.
I mean, that's like, your self-esteem. Yeah. That's your body confidence. That's everything through that lens. And so if we're able to switch that lens quicker with something like talking to a community of people who are really safe and really understanding and supportive around it, if we can just flick that lens off a bit quicker,
Completely. Like
that's saving you years.
Exactly. And I think it educates people as well, and like not in an arrogant way, but you think sometimes other people seeing those stories may change their perspective on something, be like, oh, maybe I've said something like that, or maybe I've had a perspective thinking that was a negative thing when in fact it's not, but I shouldn't use it as a negative comment. And it kind of reframes how other people see it, and then they're like, oh, it's totally normal. And I don't know, by everyone becoming more open, if they can, obviously it still takes balls to kind of pluck that up, but I think the more we're open and share those things, the more we can kind of all relax a little bit and breathe out and be like, oh, God, you feel like it too. It's fine then.
Oh, thank God. But I think even if you go into your Facebook group, for example, even if you're not active in it, do you know what I mean? Even if you're not posting or you're not sharing or kind of nobody knows you're there, just to be in that sort of environment, I think can be a wonderful thing. Oh. Just that alone. And I'm sure you do have lots of members.
Yeah, enormously. Yeah. I mean, because me and Charlotte, when we started it, we were like just seeing people pop up and be like, oh, I've lost my job and I want to do this. Or everyone was just being so honest, and then other people be like, let's hang out, let's go for a cup of tea. And I'm like, all it takes is something really, really simple. I think it's something we really underestimate online as well, because there's so much noise and there's so much activity that sometimes it's easy to just sit back and watch it all happen. Whereas sometimes it's all someone needs is just someone going, you're all right, you got this.
I almost think, Liv, that in a way it's harder for somebody like you, because I think it would be very easy to look at your life and to go, you do lovely things and you have things like press trips and people send you clothes and things like that. What have you got to complain about?
Completely.
I can imagine you. Do you know what I mean? You almost have that's not to say that you're not allowed insecurities, but for some reason.
No, but that's exactly it. But when I started thinking about the Insecure Girls Club, initially I was pitching it as a book idea as well, like a handbook. And quite a lot of feedback came from like guys in suits saying, well, how can someone like that feel insecure? And you kind of just think, of course anyone can. And I think that's why, like, especially with the videos I do on the page, I want it to be a mix of people that have just emailed in and feel comfortable enough, and people that I work with as well, in an environment where people don't see them in any other state other than them being switched on. Because I'm like, actually makes us realise that even the people we deem the most, inverted commas, successful have worries. And I think suddenly when you realise that, you think, oh, okay, like, no one's kind of more supreme than someone else, or no one's immune to feeling a bit wobbly or a bit unsure, or I don't know. And then you feel a bit more human. And I think that's the one thing that actually connects us all, is the fact that we all do feel a bit weird sometimes, and it's normal and it's not strange and it's not, doesn't make you, I don't know, because I think sometimes when you're on your own, and especially online, and I think, oh God, I must be the only one feeling like this. I'm going mad. Yeah. Like, this is it. And actually, everyone feels like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I keep saying that, but it's so true.
Yeah, because that's what connects us all.
And I think it's also a feeling that doesn't go away through life, of feeling insecure. And it could be, so we use the example of you online and we all being able to see your career, but say we're not online, and I'm speaking from experience of having a year where I've been in serious meetings and in office space. Even in office space, you think around the table that you're having a meeting with, there probably is someone around that table who doesn't know what anyone's talking about, or maybe has triggered something within that meeting, and maybe that person goes home, and that's the bit that you don't see, that's like you offline, and they go home and they sit and they think about it. And that maybe triggers them, or they process stuff. Like, I got really insecure last year because I don't understand a lot of office jargon, because I've been a spray tanner. I haven't been an office person. So there's loads of stuff that I don't get, that's like, it's making me so insecure. And it, like, they all think I'm this celebrity spray tanner and you can do this. But actually, when I come home or when I get on the flight back, I'm like, I didn't really understand a lot in that meeting. Luckily, I have business partners around me that can help me. Yeah. But it's really hard.
Yeah. And in a way, that kind of marks like success as well. I think sometimes insecurity can mark new chapters in your life and new pages of success, because you think, I'm out of my comfort zone, which obviously is really exciting, but then it just presents this whole new page of like new worries that we're like, I hadn't even thought about this. I suppose when you flip that on your head, you're like, God, that's so exciting, because you're doing something that's so exciting and so incredible, which naturally pushes you into a space where you will feel out of your comfort zone, but maybe that's a good thing as well.
I think there's a funny thing as well, and I sort of talk about this when I've done my online classrooms, because I've got such a lovely life. I've got lovely friends. I've got a gorgeous husband, home, family. Do you know what I mean? I'm incredibly privileged and incredibly lucky. And because of that, I almost felt guilty, because I was like, who am I to feel anxious or insecure? Do you know what I mean? In the grand scheme of things, it's so easy to compare to, you know, people who are so much worse off. And there's a gratitude there, which is lovely. But there's so much guilt, do you know what I mean? Around sort of going, oh, I feel like this. Is it legitimate? You know what I mean? Almost having to prove I am allowed this insecurity.
I think that's when I started, when I started sharing it more on my like main page, if you like. Like just my normal personal profile, I was always kind of, I'd start every story being like, oh, I know that it's, you know, a bit silly, and you kind of felt you had to like justify or put everything, like make everything relative. And everyone knows that. Everyone knows that. I mean, you like to think most people understand that there's always going to be someone that is worse off, like you say, but it is just kind of tackling it in a way that's sensitive, but then still having that platform where you can just kind of say, look, this is how I'm feeling, and no one's going to go, well.
Yeah.
But
yes,
you went on that holiday last year, you selfish
person. Yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, I remember somebody, Lucy Sheridan actually did a post about this. It was a while ago. That idea of, if somebody shares something that's a struggle for them, there can be this habit that people get into of going, why it's worse for them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there was like a new mum or something who was like, oh, I'm really tired. You know, and straight away, there was a lot of comments under that post of going, well, I've got two kids and I've had this and one of them's had chickenpox and I'm trying to start my job and do my master's. I'm really tired. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Almost like there was like a competition for around that sort of stuff, which is so weird that that's another trap that people can fall into. And it almost, again, it's like your insecurity isn't legitimate.
Yeah. Because I think that's the internet as well, like the competitiveness, whether it comes down to numbers and just looking and being like, well, actually, stop right there, pal, because like, I don't know, it's that mentality. It's almost slightly competitive. So I think it can get quite a lot sometimes. You're like, oh, I just want to talk about the spots on my chin. Like, and I think that's like, I did a video with one of my friends, Lindsay, and we like, whenever I do them, I always ask people what makes them feel insecure. And sometimes people are like, oh, this seems really silly. I'm like, nothing's silly. I said, you can be as open as you want, or literally kind of go in with the biggest thing, the biggest weight on your shoulders. And I said, nothing's more or less valid. I said, if it's making you feel less than, then it's fine by me.
Yeah.
Not like that, but you know, like, it's totally valid.
I think that's the most important point, actually, of the whole thing, that if you feel it, and then it's real.
Then it's real.
Do you know what I mean? If you feel it and it bothers you, it doesn't matter how much of a big deal or a small deal it is for somebody else. It's yours and you're allowed it. Do you know what I mean?
And it's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
What a lovely, lovely chat. Now, we always ask, when you come on Wobble, what makes you wobble?
What makes me wobble? typically spending too much time online. I feel like that's the most unoriginal thing ever.
No. But if it's yours, you can have it then.
Yeah. I feel like that's just ridiculous. It's not even valid. No, but just when I've spent too much time, like almost overindulging on the internet, like eating a whole, like doing a Bruce Bogtrot on Instagram, being like, oh, I feel sick. Because I've literally spent too much time. I think that makes me wobble because I think I've not dedicated enough time to doing the things I actually care about and bettering myself as a human. But no, I think comparison and that whole trail does send me in a...
Is it like an Instagram hole? Do you know what I mean? Where you fall in and then suddenly you're like three years down like on
last
somebody's
page.
Night,
I think, for example, last night I just had like all these emails to do and I was like, you know what, these will take me 20 minutes. And I don't know what I did. I think I just found myself scrolling and just... And I looked at the clock and 22 minutes had gone. And I was like, how have I done that? And I was just like, I've literally eaten my productivity, gobbled it up and spat it out. I'm like, what have I done? And I think that makes me feel really, like, it makes you feel daft. And then you kind of end up in this circle going, why have you wasted all that time? Okay. And it's just, you keep doing it. And like that circle, you think, well, I'll just refresh it once more. I don't know. That is, I think, one of the biggest.
Scrolling's such a funny one, isn't it?
It's such a funny one because I never view scrolling as a waste of time, ever.
Oh, but yeah. I can feel like I've had, it's like a junk.
I know what you mean, but I'm like, well, it's just me keeping up. That's what I'm like, that's okay. It's not, I haven't wasted time.
But I was keeping up with people that, like, you know, people you've maybe gone to school with or met twice, and then you're like, oh, I'm just keeping up with
them. I avoid
stuff.
It gets
to the point if the scroll bore, like, the scroll will bore me, though, eventually.
I'll do exactly what you said, Liv. I'll look at it, and then suddenly a half an hour and a half will have gone.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, wow, I just... Totally. That was heavy. Yeah. Liv, if people want to find the club, where do they go?
They can go on to Instagram at the moment. It's just at the Insecure Girls Club. Hoping to extend it on to Facebook and hopefully maybe a website very soon. But it's all on Instagram at the moment. They can also email, which is very old school. But yeah, no, I do a lot of like submissions and contributions. So if people have something they really want to say or share, then come on in. Everyone's welcome.
Brilliant. Liv, thank you so
much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for the cake.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
I'm still thinking about that cake.
Yes,
Liv Purvis brings good cake. Very moist. Liv is, I mean, she's just cute as a button, isn't she? She's so, so lovely. Mm. And yeah, it's really, like you said, it's really easy to forget that she's 25 and it's hard not to say that in a condescending way.
No.
But it's just because...
we're old bags.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the main sort of thing that comes up time and time again, particularly when we're talking to people on Wobble, is that feeling that everybody else is sorted. Do you know what I mean? That I'm the only one. It's only me. Particularly, I posted a couple of weeks ago on Instagram. I wasn't even going to share it. It was a piece that I'd written for Time to Change from Mind. It was about the necessity of being liked. Like, I've always been obsessed that people have got to like me.
And I
wasn't even going to share it because I was like, this will be just me. It's one of the, I mean, it's just been one of the most commented on things. It's had the biggest reaction of anything that I've ever posted, really.
Because I think there's that really powerful thing about being open and using social media for good.
Yeah.
And actually, like, what I loved about that, when we were chatting to Liv about when she said she was going on a job and there was all other girls of similar level and she was really nervous. Yeah. And then all of a sudden she was like, I'm just nervous. And the other girl was like, I'm nervous. And then they kind of were able to level out with it.
Lovely.
I think it's such an easy thing to forget in life that, and almost think, oh, we're just swimming this stream on our own. But actually, it's like that famous saying, isn't it? None of us know what we're doing. We're all blagging it.
Yeah.
We all have our hang-ups.
Absolutely. Thank you so much to Liv for coming on Wobble. If you like this podcast, why not like? Why not subscribe?
Yes.
There's a whole other, this is the third series, there's a whole other two series worth of stuff and brilliant guests to get stuck into. So do go back and have a listen. And there's also our other podcast.
Yes, Jules and Sarah the podcast. Search that on your podcast app. It's not the same podcast as this. It sits on a totally different feed, as it were. But you can listen to us on Spotify. You can listen on Acast. You can listen wherever you download your podcast.
Yes, wherever you get your podcast from. Yes. You come on in. And we will see you very soon for another guest on Wobble.
Mom. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.